Time to meet the men from the ministry. Join us now as we take our 100th ride on the Whitehall roundabout with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, guest star Clive Dunn, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Ministry men tackle a wide range of jobs and bring to each a degree of enthusiasm not far short of indifference. In the General Assistance Department, top executives are at this moment grappling with the distribution of essential supplies.
Now, here you are, old chap. Have a bit of fruitcake. Now, you like that, don't you, eh, Walt?
The pigeons don't seem so hungry this morning. I think someone else has been feeding them.
Oh, that home office mob, I dare say.
Berber.
Yeah. There's nothing better to do with their time, you know. Yeah. Now, come along, Oscar. Pick up the crumbs. That's a good boy. We don't want a messy windowsill, do we? Oh, apparently we do.
Dear.
Oh, elevenses. Thank you, Mildred. Put it on the desk, will you? We're just feeding the pigeons, dear.
Yes, so I see. Oh, they appreciate it.
Oh, they do. Don't you, Raquel?
We've given them all names, you see.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one with the puffed-out chest is Raquel.
This one I called Oscar. He's rather wild. He has some peculiar habits.
And you see that shifty-looking one over there on the left?
Yes.
That's Harold.
Yes, well, he likes to sit on the fence. But he keeps falling off because he's always trying to face both ways.
And this one here is Nemesis. I'm training him to dive-bomb the permanent undersecretary's bowler hat.
By the way, sir, Sir Gregory Lang, he'd be dropping in to check on those airport jobs.
It's London's new airport, you know. They're opening it next week.
Yes, sir. You know, I still reckon it's daft, though. I mean, building London's false airport in the north of Scotland.
It's the nearest to London they could get it, you see, without upsetting any residents.
Have you done the brochure, sir? I mean, it goes to press tomorrow.
Yes, we have, Mildred. How does this sound? The government is proud to announce the opening of London's newest and finest airport at Glenbogie. Although Scotland is somewhat outside central London, a fleet of coaches will whisk travellers from the airport to the heart of the metropolis in under 24 hours.
That's very nicely put, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, I think Sir Gregory will find that everything's in hand when he calls today.
Yeah, he won't be able to storm at us and bellyache like he usually does.
Now then, I want a word with you.
Good morning, Sir Bellyache. Good storming, Sir...
Now, about the opening of this new airport.
Everything is under control, sir.
Is that so? Oh. Everything's under control, eh? Oh. What about this party for all the VIPs who are flying in on the first planes? What about that, eh?
It's all arranged, sir. A marquee's been put up specially for the occasion.
Yes, so I understand. A large tent has been erected in the middle of the main runway. You tell me why?
Because it might rain, Sir Gregory.
What?
Pay no attention to my colleague, Sir Gregory. He'll be bitter when the full moon's past. Now, I'd no idea the tent had been put in the middle of the runway, I assure you.
But it's ludicrous.
Well, of course it is, sir. Absolutely ludicrous. Be far too windy, though. Yes. Now, we get that marquee moved.
Well, in future, there'll be less bungling all round. An efficiency expert arrives at the ministry tomorrow.
An efficiency expert?
Miss Warboys.
Oh, what exactly will she do, Sir Gregory?
Miss Warboys
yes.
will weed out incompetence, inefficiency, and slackness. And that'll be just the beginning.
Ah.
So watch it. You have been warned.
Ooh, I've heard about Miss Warboys. They call her the Beast with Harris Tweed knickers.
Yes, well, I've been thinking of taking some leave, too.
You can't, Van. It's the airport opening next week.
Pity.
I'm all right, sir. My leave's already booked.
Oh, yes. You're off tonight, aren't you? You're going to Tower Beach again?
That's right, sir. The holiday camp.
But you had a week there last year, and you said the goings-on were disgraceful.
Yes, sir. This year we've booked a fortnight. Here, I hope you'll be able to manage while I'm away. I mean, making your own tea and everything.
I don't think you need worry about that, Mildred. We're not fools, you know.
How many spoonfuls of tea should I use, one?
Well, let's see. There's only two of us, so... Wait a minute. 12 should do it. No, two. Don't push it down the spout. Lift the lid off the kettle and spoon it straight in.
Sorry, one. Perhaps you'd better make it.
Yes, very well. Plus, I'd better.
Now then, you two.
Oh, Sir Gregory, how nice of you to drop in. Lovely weather we've been having. I hope you're keeping well.
Oh, stop chattering, Lennox Brown. Lamb, you're not making tea, are you?
No, Sir Gregory.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it.
I couldn't manage it, so Mr. Lennox Brown's making it.
No, be quiet, man, quiet. Now, this airport business. Some of the installations up there have been tested and found wanting.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, the luggage arrangements, for instance.
Oh, dear, you mean they're not working?
Well, they're working, but not in the best airport tradition. Oh. As it stands, passengers could collect their luggage immediately after landing.
And that's not good?
Well, of course it isn't. Passengers expect a long wait. Good for discipline. Also, the system must be amended so that one suitcase in five goes missing or is burst open.
Yes, I see.
Well, we don't want travellers getting fancy ideas, or we'll have to change all the other airports.
Quite so, yeah.
And a loudspeaker system is hopeless. It seems you can hear every word.
Dear me, shocks of that kind could upset the public, yeah. Well, we'll have it dealt with at once, sir.
And you know, of course, there's an inaugural flight from London arriving in time for this party you organised.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. And you'll be aboard, will you, sir?
Correct. I shall be travelling with a PM, so I shan't be in the office that day. No. Miss Warboys will be in charge.
Yes. Oh, the efficiency expert, sir. Yes, yes. She's arrived, has she, sir?
Indeed she has. And she's already making an impact on the department. I suggest you tidy this ghastly office before she calls.
We hear she's a bit of a dragon, sir.
Yes, I believe she does terrify people at your level. She doesn't frighten me, of course.
Aha! I want a word with you.
Miss Warboys. Well, how nice of you to drop in. Lovely weather we've been having, what? I hope you're keeping well.
Oh, be quiet, man, and stop chattering.
Yes, Miss Warboys.
And don't just stand there with your mouth open, Pitkin. You look as half-baked as these two. You are Lennox Brown and Lamb, I take it?
Yes.
My purpose in this department is to look for zeal and proficiency.
Oh, you won't find any here, I promise you.
That will do, Lamb.
Be quiet, Pitkin, and do not interrupt.
Sorry, Lamb.
Miss Warboys, may we offer you some refreshment? You know, a cup of tea, perhaps? And I'm sure my colleague would be pleased to press you to a sponge cake.
Tea, most certainly not. I will not have staff indulging in revelry and licentious behavior. From today, there will be no more tea breaks.
Right, Miss Warboys. Be firm with them. There's far too much slackness in this department.
Indeed, there is, Pitkin. You, for instance, standing around this office like a street corner layabout. Now, get back to your desk at once.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And don't let me catch you at your window again, peering at the girls in the typing pool.
Really, ma'am, I do no such thing.
That reminds me, Sir Gregory, we've had your binoculars repaired, as you asked.
Oh, yes, thank you. Well, goodbye, Miss Warboys.
Bah! Now then, you two, I hope I've made myself plain.
Very.
There's been a great deal of time-wasting in this ministry. Mm-hmm. You'll scarcely believe it, but some members of staff actually feed pigeons on the windowsill.
Of course.
No, you haven't. You don't say so.
Dreadful, right?
Exactly. Of course, I realize you wouldn't do that sort of thing here.
Oh, certainly not. There you are, Raquel. You've got a special bumper bundle.
By Jove, too, are you sure Miss Warboys is out this morning?
Yes, I heard it from old Matthews. She's at the Civil Service Training School giving a display of karate.
Well, I must say, it's nice to relax.
There's a new bird here today. Keeps flying onto my head.
Watch out. Might be a woodpecker.
No, it's a pigeon, all right. And he's got something tied to his leg.
Good Lord, so he has. I believe that's a carrier pigeon. Come here, old chap, and let's have a look at you, will you? Come on. There you are. Do you see? It is a message. Look, it's addressed to us.
So it is. To the General Assistance Department.
Who's it from?
It says from the Observer Post on Ben Bogle.
Ben Bogle? Ben Bogle. Hmm. Wait a minute. That's a mountain in Scotland. You remember? Yes. We helped on army postings in the 1940s.
Oh.
Well, go on, read the message to me.
Right. Yeah. Urgent. Please send more corned beef.
What?
Only 100 tins left. Last lot supplied 1944. baked beans not needed. Assuring you of continued vigilance in His Majesty's service, Percy Hardstaff Private.
Percy Hardstaff Private, corned beef, 19 foot. What is all this?
The message is dated last week. It's on army paper.
Extraordinary business. Almost as if there was someone up there who still thinks the war's on.
There couldn't be. Could there?
Well, of course not, too. Yes, I don't know. I mean, people have blundered in the past, haven't they?
You mean someone forgot to discharge him?
Well, I suppose it is possible. Here, we'd better get down to records and check.
Yes.
Let's get this sorted out before Miss Warboys hears about it. There could have been a mistake, you know. They weren't all that efficient here in the war, at least. Not until we arrived.
Yes. I remember one. It took us months to raise the standard.
Yes, well, let's hope Mr. Stack's not gone to lunch yet.
Mr. Stack?
Mr. Stack of Records. Oh. Hello. Looks as though he has. No one about.
What a dreary place. Just rows and rows of metal drawers.
What's that? I can hear a noise like snoring, too.
So can I. I think it's coming from that filing cabinet.
Well, open the drawer. Yeah, go on, the one Mark S.
Right, yes. I say, there's a man sleeping inside.
I say, that must be Mr. Stack. Do you know, I've heard about him now, come to think of it.
Yeah?
Yes, if things are quiet, he files himself in a drawer and goes to sleep. Go on, wake him up.
Hello. Time to get up, is it?
Oh, I'm so sorry to disturb you, old chap, but we have an urgent query, you see.
Oh.
Army postings.
We want to look up a Private Percy Hardstaff.
Yes.
Oh, well, if you wouldn't mind helping me out. Now then, army postings,
yes.
Other ranks. Well, they're over here. I just have to move my bicycle. Hard stuff, did you say?
That's right. Private Percy Hardstaff.
Ah, here we are. Hard stuff, Percy Private.
Same fella.
Sent to observer post, summit of Ben Bogle, June 1940. Oh, that's odd. His card's not been stamped. Oh, it's very odd.
Well, why should his card have been stamped?
Well, to show he was demobilized after the war. According to this, he should still be there.
Surely not.
No, no. It must simply be a paper error.
Ah.
Oh, there was some pretty shoddy work in those days, you know.
Yes, well, that's just what we were saying, Mr. Stack. A lot of old muddlers about, you know.
It'll tell us on the back who was responsible for the job.
Ah.
Oh, yes. Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb. Oh, well. That explains it.
Does it?
Yeah, the biggest pair of idiots in the building, I hear. do you know them at all?
No, I've never heard of them.
They can't be so daft they forgot to discharge him. No doubt they just didn't bother to stamp his card. Well, excuse me, I'm off to lunch. It's been all go this morning.
We'll have to do something about this, too. Now, where exactly is Ben Bogle?
There's a map of Scotland on the wall.
Oh, let's have a look. Ah, yes, wait a minute, here it is. It, oh, good grief.
What is it?
Well, it's just beside Glenbogie, the new airport.
Oh, dear.
The place will be swarming with pressmen next week.
Oh.
If they get hold of the story, they'll murder us. Now, we must get up there at once. Hush this thing up, you know, sort it out quickly.
But I can still hardly believe it. Someone up there who still thinks the war's on. Can it really be true? Ah, here we are. Good old Vera. Oh, what a lovely voice. Oh, yes. It's one of the nicest voices I've ever heard. I love you, I love you. Oh, those tones. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Vera. Ruddy gramophone. I'm not winding you up again, matey. I've got other things to do. What's that, Gert? Yes, Daisy must have reached London by now. She'll be all right, don't you worry. Go there myself? Not likely. If I turn my back for a minute, them jerry planes will be across this coast in no time. What's that? Someone coming? Blimey, you're right. There's two men coming up our mountain with a big wooden crate. Here, maybe that's the corned beef. Or they could be jerry spies. Yeah. They're dressed a bit funny for spies, though, aren't they? Yeah, got bowler hats and black jackets. Still, best be on the safe side.
I'll put on my tin hat and camouflage, and I shall go and intercept them. Now, come on, get out of it. Now, come on, get out, Elsie. I want to wear this hat.
Oh, stop fussing, too. Corned beef isn't all that heavy. And if we'd sent this crate by post, the whole thing would have come out.
Yes, Ron, but why do I have to carry it?
Because I am carrying my umbrella and briefcase. Oh. Anyway, we're almost there now. Oh, dear me. That must be the observation post.
Thank heavens for that. I say, it's got a gun outside.
Well, of course it has. These posts were designed to prevent enemy aircraft coming in over the coast.
I can't see anyone about.
Halt! Who am I?
Who said that?
I think it was that bush over there.
Good Lord, it's moving towards us.
Advance and be rectified. And put your hands up.
This must be hard stuff, too. Best put your hands up.
Yes, right.
Ah, you idiot, you've dropped the corned beef.
What's that? Corned beef? Did you say corned beef? So you're on our side. You're not two of them.
I beg your pardon. Now, look here. We've brought your supplies from London. See? We are here from the ministry.
God bless you, sir. Hmm? And your batman. Hmm? Come along into my little pillbox and tell me how the war's going.
Well, actually, Mr. Hardstaff...
Quiet. We've got to break the news gently. Thank you very much, Mr. Hardstaff. We'll give you all the news in a moment.
Yeah, so. You get a bit cut off up here, you know. Now then. Come in, sir. Make yourselves at home. It's been my home for more than 30 years.
Yes, we realise that. And I dare say there have been times when you've felt rather lonely. Hmm?
Lonely, sir? Lonely? Up here on the mountaintop with the cry of the curlew of a morning, the owls hooting of an evening, and my friends the pigeons to talk to all day? Yes, I've been ruddy lonely.
It'll all be different now, Mr. Hardstaff. Well,
I tell you something else, sir. You get terrible wind up here. It's them baked beans, sir. I have them with the corned beef, you see, sir.
Yes, well, we've brought you some rather good news,
actually. Oh, Rommel's on the run, is he?
No.
I said our lads would have him.
Yes.
I've got some cocoa brewing, sir. No. We'll all have a drop to celebrate.
Yes, well, that's very kind.
I don't get many visitors up here, you know. As a matter of fact, you're the first human men I've seen since 1943.
You haven't seen another human face since 1943?
Well, not in the flesh, sir. Of course, I got my little Doris to look at. That's her photo on the shelf, sir.
Oh.
She's my young lady. She'll be waiting for me when this lot's over down in London. You won't catch her up the pally with the Yanks. Here's your mug of cocoa,
sir.
Oh,
thank you very much. It's very kind.
That mug's been a good friend of me, sir. Every night for 30 years, I've put my teeth in there.
Excuse me, Mr. Hardstaff, but I think they're still in there.
Yeah. Don't you worry, sir. A spot of cocoa won't harm them. Now then, tell me about dear old London.
Hardstaff, you haven't been listening to your wireless lately, have you?
No, sir, not lately, sir, because the batteries went out in 1942, sir. But I got my old gramophone.
And, of course, you haven't had television.
No, sir, no, I've had very good health, sir, except for touching room.
He doesn't even know what television is.
But you don't see the newspapers, then?
Well, I used to, sir, but the boy got fed up delivering.
Oh, really?
Well, it was 6 miles up with the morning paper, and he'd no sooner got back than he had to start up again with the evening. He chucked it in, he did, you see.
Where are you going?
I'm going to fetch some corned beef. We'll have a bit of supper, eh? Oh.
Now, listen. Yes. One of us has got to tell him the war's over, yes. And it's been an awful mistake.
Yes.
How are you going to do it?
Well, we could... Why me? We both forgot him.
Well, you're better with words, too, you know. And besides, you're my junior. So do it, will you, please? Do it.
Here we are, then. Nice bit of bully. We have to share the plate with the pigeons. But you won't mind that. There's a war on.
The thing is, Mr. Hardstaff, there isn't. The war's over. It finished in 1945, you see. But we forgot to demob you, and we're sorry. And please don't be cross.
What's that I hear? The war's over.
Yes.
Don't talk nonsense.
Well, it's true, Hardstaff. I mean, now we're good friends with Germany.
What? Never. Don't you give me that. I know what you're up to. I can see your little game. You're collaborators, aren't you? Quislings.
Now, look here.
I'm not going to look anywhere.
But...
You want me to desert my post, don't you? Give in to Hitler and let him walk in with his Gestapo. Mr. Churchill said it.
And it'll be a long, hard struggle.
Please don't wave that banner. It might go off.
Well, you better go off first. Go on, clear off. Clear off. Look, the pair of you. Go on, scram.
We'd better keep going.
Go on,
him
off
soon.
You
Let's go.
Yes. You get back to London and tell them there's plenty of us aren't licked yet. Any planes come across this coast, I'll blast them out of the skies. Go on, get off, and don't come back.
What are we going to do?
Oh, well, let him stew in his own juice for a bit, and then we'll go back with some proof.
He could do a lot of damage with that gun, couldn't he? Lucky there aren't any planes about.
Just a minute. Yeah? Glenboggy Airport opens tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
There'll be planes coming right overhead.
Oh, right. And there's the PM's inaugural flight at 11.
Oh, good Lord, we can't wait. We must sort him out now.
Open up, Hardstaff, will you? I have something to say to you.
Oh, yeah? You changed your mind, have you? You're going to fight for your country after all.
I don't like to use physical force on a small man like yourself, Hardstaff, but I'm afraid Mr. Lamb is going to have to.
What? Oh, he is he? Right. Yeah, unarmed combat, they call that, you know, because sometimes it tears your arm off. That was page 53, fig 1.
Now, steady on, Hardstaff. Don't you try that on me.
All right, you have page 54. Yeah, that's right, you lie there quietly while I try and remember my knots. Nice stout bit of rope.
There'll be a plane over here at 11 tomorrow. Now, you mustn't shoot at it.
Oh, so that's it, eh? Carrying some of your jelly friends, is it? Well, in for a nasty surprise.
Pitkin here is just checking on tomorrow's inaugural flight. What? Well, you never know what may come up. No. Now, I got a few snacks on the flight. Oh, nothing much. Caviar, perhaps. A pheasant or two. Haunch of venison and champagne, of course. Yeah. You got that?
Splendid. Goodbye.
Now then, Pitkin.
Miss Warboys.
Why have I not been invited on this inaugural flight to Glenboggy?
Why?
Yes.
Well, it's a rather uncomfortable aircraft, you know, and there won't be any food or drink, except perhaps a few biscuits.
I'm glad to hear it. I wouldn't like this to be an occasion for self-indulgence.
No, is it?
And by the way, I'm told Lamb and Lennox Brown put a marquee on the runway.
They did, yes, but I told them to have it moved. It has been attended to.
Good, good. And where are the fools today?
I gather they've gone up to Scotland. I imagine they're rather tied up there.
How long are you going to keep us trussed up like this?
You think yourself lucky you haven't been shot? That's what they used to do to traitors, you know. They were shot and then imprisoned for life.
What's the time, too?
It's 5 to 11.
Oh, glory, the Prime Minister's plane will be over any minute.
Don't try that on me, matey. If it is Mr. Churchill, he'll be on a British plane, like a Wellington or a Tiger Moth. Halifax. I'm not going to shoot at that, am I? But if it's a foreign plane, I'll have it down in no time.
That does it, too. He's not going to recognize a comet.
Oh, dear. He's getting his ammunition out.
Oh, and look at that box. Look at it. It says, supplied by the General Assistance Department. Oh, the irony of it. We supplied those shells back in
1942. Yes. Now, then, I say there's a plane coming all right. Just to wait till I get my specs on.
That'll be the PM's plane, Mum.
Right. Is it Jerry? Well, it must be. It's not one of ours. Right, you horrible uns. Come and get it.
Oh, this is awful, too. Sitting here helpless while he shoots down the PM's plane. And Sir Gregory's aboard as well.
Yes, I suppose it is that to be said about it.
Blimey's going a bit fast, ain't he? Well, that won't save you, matey. I got you right in my sights. Now then. It on, they started using metal aeroplanes. I'll have you nasty Nazis. Oh, they got away. The ammo's no ruddy good. Here, these shells are blanks. All of them.
Blanks?
You blooming useless pest. You sent me crates of blank ammunition all those years ago.
Oh, dear. That must have been one of the first clangers I dropped.
Yeah, well, thank heavens you did, too.
Well, yes and no. I've just remembered I was supposed to send live ammunition here and blanks to the training school at Aldershot. No wonder so few completed the course.
And here is the news read by John Curl. Drama today at the opening of London's new airport. The first plane into Glenbogie, carrying the Prime Minister and other leading figures, narrowly avoided flying into the nearby mountain Ben Bogle. Eyewitnesses said a collision would have occurred had the pilot not been alerted by a warning burst of blank gunfire from the top of the mountain itself. A ministry spokesman, Mr. Derek Lennox Brown, later said that because they felt the mountain was a hazard, they had recently installed an observer post there. He himself had assisted in firing the gun, which explained why he still had his fingers crossed. At the airport itself, there was a slight hitch in the inaugural luncheon. The marquee was erected in a quiet area, but by some oversight, the tables were set up on the main runway. In consequence, the Prime Minister stepped off his plane into a bowl of jelly and custard. He shrugged off the incident, saying he didn't get upset over trifles.
Well, there all the papers run. Hardstaff could be discharged as soon as he returns his army knife and fork.
Oh, I have those here, too. Yes, he handed them over when we first got down to London. He's calling this morning, by the way.
I wonder how he likes the big city after all this time.
Well, very much, I should think, with 30 years back pay to spend.
He's quite bright, really, the way he finally twigged the war was over when I got that banana from my briefcase.
Well, that's the sort of thing he's missed, too. Did you see him at Euston Station, stuffing himself with fruit and chocolate from the kiosk?
Pity about the British Rail uniforms, though. He thought they were Nazi paratroops.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. He'll be having the time of his life.
You asked me to drop in.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hardstaff. What's it like to be back in London, eh?
Oh, awful, sir. My old pub's been turned into a supermarket, whatever that is. And all the traffic, sir. I waited hours for a tram, but it never got through.
What about the new things? Discotheques, the flyovers, American-style chicken burgers.
Oh, I ate them, sir. I went into one of them Dissner Technicals. I was chatting up this bird with the long blonde hair. It turned out to be a fella.
Chatting up a bird, Mr. Hardstuff, and what about your girlfriend, Doris?
Well, that's the trouble, sir. I can't find her. No one knows where she lives anymore. I think she may have gone in the Blitz, sir.
Oh, dear me. But, I mean, surely London has something to offer you.
No, sir, I don't like it. I'm going back to Ben Bogle, sir, to my little pillbox. There's peace and quiet there.
I thought you said it was lonely.
Yeah, it'll be all right, sir. I've bought a new record for my gramophone and plenty of batteries for the wireless. If I just had my little Doris, sir, we'd be smug as a bug in a rug.
Now then, you two, I want a word with you.
Oh, Smallboys.
I'm sorry about the tables on the runway. When I told them to move the marquee, I forgot to tell them to move the furniture in the side, and if I'd known they weren't going to, I'd never have done it.
Did you say war, boys? It is. It is. It's me own little Doris War Boys who knitted my balaclava helmet.
What? Percy Hardstaff. My Percy. Where have you been? I've waited for you all these years.
Doris, don't cry. Don't cry, my little darling there. Come on, blow for Percy. I'll tell you all about it if you come with me to Scotland, my darling.
Oh, Percy, I'll come with you anywhere.
Yes, come along, my darling.
I've waited all these
years. You've got the same lovely elbows, you little darling.
Oh, would you believe it? I don't think we're needed here, too.
Quite right, one. Let's go and have a nice cup of tea.
Good eye.
Topping their ton as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and guest star Clive Dunn as Percy Hardstaff. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.